you are?
Things are pretty good. Got a convention coming up this weekend.
Really?
In Edmonton, so cool. Trying to get all my stuff together for that. We did the Red and White Festival or Expo, I'm not sure what they call it. Sort of a smaller comic expo up here that they have after in and around the big Calgary Expo. It's just like a little smaller one.
Yeah.
Did that a couple of weeks ago, and so I think we got after Edmonton, I think it's kind of the long stretch through the winter where we just try to get a bunch of work done for the next convention season because it's turns cold and nobody
can you guys hear me?
I got my last convention coming up here at the end of October, and then I'll probably looking to schedule some more for next spring and go from there. But so do you guys do the panel one group, you guys do a lot of shows yourself?
We've just done the one so far.
Okay.
Excuse me. It's kind of the inaugural one. I'm sure there's going to be, I think it'll be at least a yearly convention, but then there's always sort of like events that are going to be going on throughout the year, like fundraisers and things for the conventions. And it's just kind of whatever the big brains can cook up for the rest of us to kind of chip in and do. There's kind of a couple, there's a handful of people that are a little more inclined to organize things, and then the rest of us are just kind of waiting to be directed.
Yeah. Right. No, absolutely. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have many more shows the rest of the year then?
For panel one specifically, you mean?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of right now. I know they're all, well, actually, wait a minute. They were talking to, do you know where Drumheller is? Have you heard of the Tyrell Museum? It's like
no, I have not.
Sort of a mecca for dinosaur stuff, but.
Okay.
Anyway, it's about an hour and a half outside of Calgary. I think they're talking to a library out there that's trying to put on a festival, or not a festival, just a kind of a, some kind of, I'm not sure if it's comic specific or just a book expo kind of thing or something.
Sure.
So they were, panel one had kind of gotten in with them and had let the rest of us know that they're looking for people to table out there. So maybe a bunch of the panel one people will kind of crash what would normally be like an arts and craft fair and turn it into weird comic sort of.
Excuse me. Excuse me. You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. We have it. I wasn't sure if you could hear me or not. I was trying to get in a little earlier, and I have an old expression. It's called save it for the podcast. But I think this is all the podcast anyway, so luckily I've been recording it. But we never got formal introductions. So you guys just start talking. It sounds to me like you guys should get together and just chat. But Dave Schwartz.
I'm on my way. Just
start walking to Calgary. It'll take you no time from Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, so Dave,
I'm out of the bath now, so.
Oh, well, that's disappointing, but. Dave, you're Dave Schwartz. You bought this for Panel One. Panel One had a Kickstarter. I'm Mo. We talk podcasts, we talk comics. And we got Cam Hayden here for us from Futility. And you chose him as the person you're going to talk to. Dave, you have your own book, Atlas is coming. Or Atlas Origins, is it? Atlas Origins, right?
Atlas Origins is the name of the book, yeah.
And you bought this reward that Panel One had for the Kickstarter for the show that we were talking about that was put on a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You chose Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Did you put a bunch of names in the hat and then pick out Cam's name, or?
If you want to call it that. it was the luck of the draw, I guess.
Easiest to pronounce.
Yeah.
Cam is a good name to pronounce. I appreciate that.
We'll call it that.
Okay, so I just wanted to get the introductions out there. So it's Dave Schwartz, and you're talking to Cam Hayden. And from here on in, don't let me interrupt you. Please, go ahead.
I thought I could hear you there for a minute, but it sounded like maybe you were in another room shouting into a pillow or something. So I wasn't sure if you were trying to get in.
Hey, you do your podcast your way, I'll do mine.
Okay, yeah. Have you had a chance to sample? Like, did you get a big package of stuff from the panel on Kickstarter?
You know,
is
I'm
it
not
incoming. Or?
Yeah, I'm sure it's on its way. I'm not sure if I've seen it yet. To be honest with you, I've had a couple of Kickstarter packages come my way recently, but I actually just got back from Virginia. I was out there for a comic book show in Richmond, so it was a good time out there. But yeah, just kind of catching up.
Are the conventions pretty big down there?
You know, it was a pretty decent show. I mean, it wasn't as big as say like Chicago. I went to Chicago a couple weeks ago. That was a pretty decent show. Very very large and friendly crowd. But Richmond was just you know, it was a good I thought a medium sized show. Everybody out there was really you know, friendly, enthusiastic, and you know, interested in the indie comics. So that's always a plus in my book.
Yeah, I picture you guys having like constant access to big cool conventions that are always like an easy drive away. But like,
yeah, I mean, right. I mean, I'm you know, from the Michigan area, so there's about three or four in my state alone. But then, you know, you got Chicago, you got you know, New York, which is not too far away from me, Philadelphia. I actually went to Denver mainly because I know people out there and I could crash on their couch. But Denver is just a sweet place to be, regardless. But the show out there is fantastic. I had a great time. The people were awesome. The crowd was huge. All overall, it was just a good experience.
The opposite of my usual experience.
Oh,
no. I mean, sometimes that's how it goes, but
sure,
no, it's always fun.
Right.
So are people generally pretty into indie comics down there, trying stuff out?
Yeah. I mean, I say so far I've been to about 8 Comic Cons this season. This is my second major year with the Atlas book. So I want to branch out a little bit more next year, but you know, so far it's been really good. And Denver, I would say, has actually been, you know, next to the Motor City Con, which is here in the Detroit area. You know, those two cons have been my best cons as far as fans and as far as just overall, you know, feeling about my experience. You know, just you know, good people to talk to and people that really, like I said, are interested in new stories, which is always awesome.
Cool. And does it seem like it's kind of the same group of guys and gals kind of bumping into each other at every convention out there?
Here and there, but you know, I definitely see more and more different people that I haven't run into before, and even different people of different ages. You know, it's funny to me how many different or I should say what a wide age group I do pull. I don't know if it's just the artwork and the story that I, you know, try to sell them on, but you know, it seems to me like I get anywhere between 60 and 18. You know, it's a pretty wide range so far.
That's good.
Yeah.
My range is a little bit narrower than that, I think, but
sure.
All weirdos. So
yeah, you do get the occasional weirdo here and there that just wants to, you know everything about the project from start to finish. So
yeah, mine are sort of maybe a different variety of weirdos. I think there's something in the comics that I draw that speaks to a specific kind of weirdo, which I thought maybe you were when you signed up to interview me, but it's because it was not such a specific choice. You might be off the hook there. So that's
right. Cool. Well, you know, a lot of people would say I'm a bit of a weirdo when it comes to certain things. I mean, the Atlas book itself is, you know, it features, you know, themes and ideas that are rather unconventional. They challenge a lot of conventional ideas about, you know, reality and the universe and, you know, what we are and that sort of thing. So
So is it like a sci-fi kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a bit of sci-fi, a bit of superhero, a bit of fantasy. You know, I take a lot of influence from philosophy, ancient culture, fringe science, like I said before, alternative theories about the universe. You know, it's all, you know, kind of inspired by what I found to be somewhat, you know, verifiable theories or evidence of mind over matter, you know, the paranormal, the true sort of like oddities of life that we have available to us, and you know, trying to meld all of that with sort of a philosophical or a different philosophical viewpoint on what reality truly is, and sort of told through a superhero story. Because before this, I just sort of wrote my own papers and sent them to people just about you know, my ideas, and a lot of these things were just sort of going over people's heads, and I decided one day that I would somehow figure out a way to convey them in a more simple way that people could really grab hold of. And I found the comic book medium to be a really interesting avenue to explore, and I had the art background, and I think I can tell a decent story, so I figured, why not give it a shot?
Nice. Mine are mostly about farts.
Hey, you know, similar, I love going to Comic Cons mainly because you get to see all the diversity of what's out there in storytelling. Honestly, because it's everywhere, man. I mean, I picked up a couple books just this past weekend when I was in Richmond. You know, just about all of all different types of things. I mean, medieval stuff and you know, kid stuff, just to get a different perspective. You know, see what sparks.
All my influences are kind of in more of like the Mad Magazine, National Lampoon.
Oh yeah, right on, man.
Kind of vein. So, some into like the Basil Wolverton type stuff. And
cool.
Kind of the goofier stuff, but
right.
The Futility comic that we do is kind of has a bit of a sci-fi bent to it. Although it's, I would say it's sort of kind of crossed with like Hee Haw or something like that.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, the panel one idea is really, you know, it interests me from the get-go when I was, you know, on Kickstarter, just because from my perspective where I'm at, you know, there's not a whole lot of resources for comic book creators or, you know, anyone that's really looking to get into publishing or storytelling in my, you know, in the area that I'm at. I mean, I personally felt like I wanted to start some kind of you know, collective of creators that could help one another, and you know, maybe help others that are, you know, trying to make it in this crazy business. And you know, one of the things I have started doing recently is just doing some part-time teaching for my alma mater, CCS in Detroit. You know, just trying to make sure that I give back a little bit here and there if I can. But yeah, that's primarily why I love the panel one idea, man. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. I think when everybody kind of gets their heads together, there's all kinds of opportunities opening up. So we're kind of looking out for each other more now than maybe has been done in the past, where everyone's just kind of making their own gravy, where now we got all kinds of different things coming from all different directions that we never even thought of. So,
right.
So it's good. Right. It's if you got a posse of people out there, I think there's probably people that are kind of in the wings that are ready to participate in that kind of stuff. They just don't know how to get into it or where to even start, you know. So if you can kind of start generating something, then I think people probably will come out of the woodwork, and before you know it, you probably have something similar cooking.
Yeah, that might be 2017. You know, I mean, I just got done with two new stories that I'm pitching right now to some publishers, just to see what happens. So that just actually wrapped up for me. So aside from all my other freelance work that I've got going on, I think I'm gonna maybe focus on some other projects, and maybe that's going to be one of them. Who knows?
So is this your day job, is doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I primarily have, you know, 5 to 6 freelance jobs going on at all times. So between comic books work, storyboard work, website design, all sorts of different things. I'm recently going to get started. I found out about some animation job that I'm going to do some work for. You know, not major animation heavy stuff, just a lot of like background flats and things like that. But, you know, hey, work is work. I love doing different things like that every once in a while. I mean, it definitely challenges myself, and I always love learning new things, and, you know.
So did you go to school for that kind of stuff, or you just
I went to CCS, Detroit College for Creative Study, for illustration. Illustration was such a wide variety of things that you could do, and they really encouraged that. When I got out of college, comics was one of the things that I had originally went to college for, and I deviated from that throughout the years, but wanted to make money and kind of get on my own, so I fell into the corporate design world and did that for about 5 years, and decided that it just wasn't for me and wanted to, you know, take a break. So I made a change and started doing my own freelance stuff, and, you know, it's been about 2 years and everything's going good so far. So just trying to take it to the next level.
Did you ever get to do like gig posters and stuff like that?
Not yet. I'm just now starting to send some stuff out to some larger companies, just to see if maybe my art can take me in some different directions. Trying to send some stuff out to Marvel and DC. So we'll see.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was just trying to, you know, to be honest, just trying to get this Atlas book done the last year and a half, because it's been just, I don't know, it's one of those very personal stories for me. I just wanted to get out, you know, and just make sure that I could get it done and, you know, have something to really showcase as something I've completed.
And you've got a bunch of, is it a big book or is it a multiple issue kind of thing?
Well, it was originally released as a multiple issue digital edition only through the website, and then I put it together in a trade that I funded through Kickstarter, and it went remarkably well.
Kickstarter goal.
I well surpassed my goal, which was really nice. So I was able to get the books, and actually I've since have gone back for a second printing, so you know, everything is going pretty well with that book, even though it's just self-published through, you know, my website and Comixology. So
do you guys have like reasonable printing places down there? Up here it's kind of a pain. It's tough to find places within Canada that will print your books for a rate that makes sense. So
sure.
We've had to go to China. We used Print Ninja.
Yeah. I did a print run of the first issue through Print Ninja, just to use that as a tool for marketing and sending out to publishers. They're good quality and especially for the cost, for sure. But the thing for me, like I have a printer that's pretty close to me, is about 30 minutes away, and they do a fantastic job. It's a bit more expensive per book, but you know, you don't have to pay for the shipping costs, and I, you know, have the availability of getting it turned around in like less than 2 weeks, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Yeah,
for some of my other non-Futility comics, I've got a local spot I used to, but it cost me in some cases it costs, well, from the book that I sell for $5 cost me about $5.50 to print per book.
Right,
so
right.
My math is a little shitty there.
Sure.
And then I've got another one that's costs like $9 to print, so I got to sell it for $10. But that, it's the same thing. I can get them within a couple days usually, and I'm just doing short runs. But
right, right. And, yeah. And that's a nice resource to have for sure.
So you go to a convention and hope that someone wants a sketch or something to kind of cost.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing I'm having to do now, because for the last year and a half, I've been pushing Atlas, and my whole booth has been Atlas so far the past 2 years. So next year I'm going to have to kind of restructure things and rebrand it sort of myself, so that I have multiple books with all kinds of different prints and artworks. So that's going to be a whole new revamp for me. But I'm hoping between now and next Comic-Con season I can get something rolling. But you never know in this game, right?
Yeah, you just keep chipping away, I guess. So for your webcomic stuff, would you like upload just a page at a time? Like I don't really do any web stuff, so I've never
talked about
so much to you.
I treated it a lot more like a typical 1 month turnaround for a comic book release. So I was trying to hit first of the month type release dates for each issue.
Full 24 page.
It was about 20. I started out with 34. The first issue is about an issue and a half. So it's sort of like a bonus issue, and then 2 through 5, they're all consistent around 20 to 22, and then the last one was a couple extra. I think it was like 26 or 28. But I was fairly close to hitting all of those deadlines. I mean, I'm not beholden to a gigantic publisher or distributor. So it's like I thought you'd be a couple days late, but I did try to market things pretty well ahead of time, so that I wasn't trying to be lazy, because one of those things about me, like I used to be a creative director, so I never wanted to be late to work or set a bad example. So I want to make sure that I'm a good employee to my boss side,
So are you going like straight to digital, like using a Wacom or something, or?
My book, I tend to do things a lot more traditional. At least this last book I did almost everything traditional, with the exception of the colors. I did all the colors in Photoshop, but I do a watercolor wash phase after the inking, so it gives everything like a really cool painterly feel. Plus, when I put the digital colors over top, it doesn't look so flat to me. I mean, sometimes when you get that digital color look, it just looks kind of flat. So for me, I like seeing paint strokes, so I just like the blend of the two. But going forward, I believe my process is going to evolve, because I have started to get much more comfortable with doing my pencils digitally. So going forward, I believe I'm going to start doing my pencils digitally. I'll probably continue doing the watercolor wash, because I really do love that effect. But it all really depends on the book and the style that I'm working on. If it calls for it, then yeah. But if it's something that's not going to help out the story, then got to go a different direction.
Yeah, the watercolor, I find, adds a lot of cool kind of depth and just nice textures and stuff in the background. It just kind of helps it kind of pop off the page.
Right, right. Well, and the other thing that I like too is, you get to really direct the lighting, because sometimes, when you are working with another colorist, they may not necessarily get your cues all right. So if you can get the extra layer of value in there to direct that lighting, it's like, okay, wow, I can really see where this, is supposed to go, and the colorist does a much better job.
So what's your dream job here? You said you applied to send stuff to Marvel?
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning on sending some test pages to Marvel, Marvel and DC, just to try to get, you know, somebody's attention, and hopefully, you know, maybe something will happen, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I did go to art school, so art is sort of my first priority. You know, I do, you know, my dream job would to be make it as an artist, but you know, at the end of the day, I really do love writing stories. I really do enjoy creating, you know, characters and a world for them to exist in, and you know, in that way, being able to tell my own stories and work out my own, you know, angst with life. So
yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like I just kind of go back and forth between the two, but you know, art is always kind of my dream.
So would you be sacrificing something if you got a job like drawing Spider-Man? Would your own personal idea be like dying on the vine in the background?
You know, I think it would be maybe like a personal struggle for like a minute, and then I would realize, holy shit, you're drawing Spider-Man, you dipshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's sort of the holy grail for everybody in this business. So, you know, I wouldn't scoff at that. No, that's not at all. But yeah, I mean, I just love all aspects of it, to be honest. I mean, that's probably why I do a lot of it myself, just because I enjoy every part of the process. So
yeah, it's pretty fun. It's nice to create something and see something take shape and take some ownership of it and hold it in your hand, ideally, at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and try to convince strangers to buy it.
Right.
Maybe have no interest in it at all.
Right. So how did you get started in all of this?
I guess, you know, the same story as most people, just as a kid, just growing up reading comics. I grew up out on a farm, outside of a hamlet, so it was just like the sticks, basically, so lots of time just to draw or read or whatever, because there's not much else to do, and just kind of a bit of an artsy-fartsy kind of kid, and then I applied to art school when I first came to the city here, and I didn't get accepted into the art college, but I got accepted into the university, so I got an English degree. And I still kind of did art stuff on the side, but I was also doing music stuff as well, so that's kind of the direction I went. I went into some... I did college radio for a few years, and I started to meet a bunch of other kind of like-minded music types, and then from 18 ongoing, I've been playing in bands and stuff. So most of the time when I kind of had to decide if I was going to be practicing my drawing or playing music, and then kind of did the music thing for quite a while, and then had kids and stuff, and then once the kids kind of were on the scene, then there was less touring and stuff like that. Kind of just at home more, and I was still itching to create something or do something. So while you're stuck in the house, I kind of just drifted back towards the drawing and stuff. And then the guy that I'm doing the comic with now, the writer, was also in the same band as me, and we were both for years just traveling around in the van. We knew we both liked comics, but never really got into it too heavy. And then once we found ourselves kind of at home with kids, we kind of continued the collaboration, but in comics instead of in a rock band. So in a way, I'm pretty green to it, because although I started a long time ago, there was a pretty big gap in the middle where I wasn't really reading a lot of comics and I wasn't doing a lot of drawing and stuff. And then I just figured, well, we can do it or not do it. And you know, we just might as well take a shot at it, and then it's just a matter of paying for it, and then there it is, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel, too. I mean, just, I myself took a bit of a gap. I mean, I was still within a creative realm, you know, I was still doing design and that sort of thing, but, you know, I hadn't touched drawing for many years, and then, you know, kind of had to give myself a refresher. But yeah, I mean, I feel the same way, you know, just, you know, you gotta give it a shot, right? And just see if you can, you know, create something with it.
Yeah, because lots of people talk about doing this kind of thing, but then they just right. never actually get around to it, so.
Exactly,
you just gotta,
exactly.
Just gotta put your mind to it and get it done, so.
Right. Well, yeah, doers do, right? So.
Yeah, and then once you get the ball rolling, you can kind of, you get some initiative there going, and before you know it, you're cranking right. out more than you ever thought you'd be able to.
Right. So you talked about a buddy of yours. So do you collaborate with a few other people, or what's the situation?
Yeah, for the sci-fi comic that we do, I draw it, and my buddy Rick Overwater, he like scripts it out and writes it. We toss ideas around back and forth, just as I'm sure you would, a collaborator, and then so he sends me the script, and like after we've usually talked about it a bit, and then I just start drawing it, and then we had a colorist as well, Nathan Miller, who did all the coloring in the 4 issues that we've got so far. And so in that situation, we've got usually 3 people working on it. And nice. I've done some comics on my own as well, where I do everything,
right?
Including coloring, which is kind of a pain for me because I'm colorblind. So
oh,
I'm
really?
In Photoshop, I'm like hovering over the little square so that the name will pop up. It's like, okay, that's blue, not purple.
Or my whatever. Gosh.
So it's a bit of a crapshoot there, and then I've got to show it to someone, and they usually have to let me know if anything's too wonky.
Mm-hmm.
So no, then I'll make the corrections there. And then I've got another, kind of a third comic that I do also with a co-writer. But I do everything, like I color that one as well, but he writes some of the scripts too. So it's mostly collaboration. There's a few solo things that I do, but
right,
I like working
right.
with people.
Yeah.
I kind of stall myself out sometimes if I put too much burden on myself. I tend to freeze up. So
I hear that for sure. I mean, I did the first two, I did Atlas all by myself, and then I did this other story that I'm shopping around right now called Confederate Monster. And then the third one, I actually had another comic book artist, Joseph Cooper, draw. He is really, really good, very talented. He used to work for, he did some work for DC, Marvel, Image, all kinds of the, you know, big publishers. And you know, that was a great experience, just trying to, you know, write something and, you know, let someone else sort of, you know, put their own stamp on the style of everything. And you know, it was fun actually getting into color that work too, because I spent a little too much money on him, and I figured I'll color it myself.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, like, how do you wrangle a DC guy? Like, I guess it helps if you know him, but
right, yeah. I mean, it was just happenstance. Like, one of the comic cons that I went to a couple years back, I got seated next to him, and I kind of just befriended him over the weekend, and it was a really nice experience. He actually got me into the Traverse City Con, the Capital Cherry Con, in the northern part of Michigan, and it was on short notice. You know, he just said, "Hey, I know the promoter. I'll get you in." You know, it was that kind of thing. I was like, "Oh man!" So yeah, it was a really good relationship I got, which got me into, you know, collaborating with him. So that was a pretty fun experience for sure. But yeah,
that's cool. I've only ever managed to get one kind of pro guy to do something. It really wasn't a book. It was just an album cover, actually. It's a cartoonist named Johnny Ryan.
Oh, okay.
He does a series called Angry Youth Comics, and is it Prison Pit? he's kind of a, he's done some stuff for Nickelodeon and stuff too, but I managed to get him before he kind of got as big as he is now. But
right,
full, and there's guys around town too that I would be interested in getting to do full comics, but then it's like, yeah, it's money, so like, or I could just do kind of my own half-ass version, sell just as many or less. Right.
No, absolutely. Yeah, so I'm gearing up for one more Comic Con this year, and then I'm done. So
when winter hits, does everything kind of shutter up down there for?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean there are a few here and there, but I'd have to travel pretty far, and you know, with the holidays and everything, I just kind of like to take a little bit more of a break. And you know, I have a couple other stories that I've been noodling around, so I might take a couple days here and there and try to get some other things, you know, off the ground, as it were.
Have you tried coming up into Ontario or anything?
Not yet. I do plan on trying to do that next year, though. I was actually talking to my boss, John, the one that works for Marvel, about, he went to the Toronto Comic Con a couple weeks ago, and he had a blast. He loved that experience. So I was thinking maybe I'd hit that one up and maybe a couple more while I'm in that area.
Yeah, I haven't been to that one myself, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. So
right,
seems right. Like a good one to go to if you can get to it. How far of a drive is that for you?
It's probably about like 3.5-4 hours, something like that.
Nothing, piece of cake.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I just did 11.5 for Virginia, so that was a bit of a trek, but I did Denver, which is about 20, so God, that was far.
Yeah, if we were gonna go to Vancouver, that'd be about how long it would take to drive. But we went to Vancouver 2 years ago, but we just flew because it was like, ah, screw it.
Oh sure, yeah.
It's like, we're not gonna make any money anyway, so we might as well spend an extra few hundred dollars on on not sure. Sitting in a van smelling each other's farts for
right. Hours, so. Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, I've been used to doing all this mainly myself. I hardly ever have a buddy with me. I was lucky in Denver, I had a buddy with me, but you know, all these other experiences of just, you know, crashing on couches and eating cold pizza for 3 days, so.
Yeah, that's the other advantage to having a collaborator that no one ever really mentions, is someone to switch off the driving sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I should really learn my lesson in that regard.
But should trick someone to do some, like, draw the panels or something, and then make them drive like 9 hours.
right. No, absolutely.
Fetch you sandwiches at the convention while you're doing sketches.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what. That has been. There's been a couple of conventions so far that have been really good as far as like the volunteers and like trying to help you with like getting food or like, you know, trying to get water and that type of thing. But some of these conventions, man, it's like, oh, I have no help whatsoever. I need like a buddy, you know.
The level that me and my writer and stuff we're at now, it's weird because we're friends, like we see a lot of the same people at the conventions, so some of them kind of level up a bit. So you'll be at a convention and the guy that you were tabling with at the last show is like a special guest there at the next one you go to, so they're like disappearing off into the green room and stuff. Like, oh, you bastards,
right?
Back there like having milkshakes and stuff, and we're
right
sitting here like trying to eat this dry piece of pizza that we've been nursing for like 4 hours. They come back, they're crumbs all over their shirt.
Oh my gosh, I know, right? Yeah, that's how I felt at probably about half of the shows that I went to.
I'm not complaining, it's just funny because they just sort of disappear off into the dreamland back there with all the food.
Right. Yeah, well, I must say, out of all the conventions I've gone to, though, you know, I think maybe two or three of them, Neil Adams was there with his entourage, and he had about six tables, I think, in a row. I think he had almost like one whole corridor to himself. But you know, he's still out there, like, plugging away, man. I mean, just still out there helping people, you know, helping everybody set up his booth, you know. He's not, you know, hiding behind any green room or anything like that, man, and just very approachable. Talked to him for about 30 minutes before the show. Man, it was, he's a good guy. That's the one thing I do like about Comic-Con, is you do get to see some of those, you know, those older guys that are still, you know, making the circuit.
Yeah, he was here a couple years ago. I think we had a kind of a brief chat with him, but I've heard varying reports about him that he can be kind of surly, but he's an old guy, right? So I guess he can do what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, I think I talked to him for, like I said, about 30 minutes, but through the course of that time, you know, he was like doing commissions while he's talking to me and, you know, barking orders a bit, but, you know, that's kind of, I think, the level at which he's at. You know, like, he's got to get this shit done. So
yeah, we got to we tormented what's his name, Simon Bisley, a couple of years ago.
Right.
We tormented him to the point where he came out for drinks with us at the end of the end of the game. And holy smokes, that guy can drink.
Oh man!
So because he was like, "Oh, I want to go eat." So we took him to this barbecue place and got him pulled pork, and he ordered this huge meat platter and just drank like an insane amount, and didn't affect him, because I'm sure he does it as a profession. He's
right.
And we got home like 3 or 4 in the morning,
Had
to be at the convention the next day, which we were. But the second day he didn't even show up. We're afraid he was dead in his hotel room. Because like, holy smokes, like,
right?
Not a liquor that guy can put back.
Yeah, Jesus.
But I saw a picture of him later, so I guess he didn't die. He wasn't in the news. So.
Well, hey, that's good news. Sure.
But there's people lined up at his table, and we kind of came by in the morning to see him, to see if he was alive or whatever. And there was a lineup of people waiting there, and then the guy at the table beside him, he's pointed at us, and he's like, "It's their fault. He's not here." Looks like we're here.
Oh man, that's funny.
We made it in, but
yeah, we're troopers. God dang.
But yeah, no, it's cool how you get to hang out with some of those people. I got to talk to Sergio Aragonés for a while.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
Same thing. He was sitting there just drawing this super elaborate like fight scene, like big crowd fight going on.
Oh wow!
It's like, I think it was a group picture, but
cool.
Was just talking, and it didn't even look like he was thinking about it. And just the page just filled up like magic with all those little things.
I know. Yeah. It is amazing how those guys are sometimes. For sure. Yeah, I'm still doing my very, very technically correct scaffolding for my mannequins to make sure everything is good, you know. Yeah,
it pays off in the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still do my gestures, I still do my loose stuff, but I mean, yeah, I'm still not quite at the level yet where I'm like completely comfortable with all my proportions. You know, like I can just watch like videos of Jim Lee drawing, and he's just like, "Oh, it's so effortlessly drawing this Catwoman." Like, oh, God, are you kidding me? So.
For me, I try to put myself in a scenario where I'm drawing comics where maybe that is not, where people aren't too particular about that kind of stuff. They're not the perfect rendition of some car or a gun or whatever. Mine are more kind of cartoony. So
sure.
I've created a way I can get away with a bit more ineptitude.
A little more cheating here and there.
Yeah, and it's just sort of like goofy comics that I'm doing anyway. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that fits the, you know, if it's a style, it all works. So.
Yeah, I think it works. I mean, we have some repeat customers, so it works for some people. So.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, that's what it's all about, man.
And some people can kind of spot the influences too. So if they can spot where it's kind of coming from, then they understand what's going on.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, then you got something for sure. Cool.
So have you had any odd sketch requests at conventions lately?
Oh my gosh, dude. Like tons. I've got everything from I think I have drawn every Avenger in a form of undress at some point.
Kind of bondage kind of
situation. Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, I got, let's see, Hawkeye in lingerie. I had Iron Man taking his pants off for Winter Soldier, so there was definite like show going on in that one. Then I got Hulk and Thor shopping for bikinis, which was very difficult to actually put a bikini on Hulk. But that worked out. Yeah, I think his pattern was a little, I put little hearts on his. And yeah, I'm trying to think of who else. Yeah, I didn't get Black Widow, though, which would be the more obvious choice, I suppose. But, what was the... God, I'm trying to think of the one I just got this past weekend I thought was bizarre. Man, it's not coming to me. But I've done all kinds of different, group shots of different people in, you know, hilarious positions, and Batman and Robin being a little bit more homosexual with one another, if I can say that. So
yeah, those are the best. I love the weird requests. It kind of freshens up your day, I guess. It gives you something fun to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well yeah, and it's a challenge, you know, like people give you those off the wall things, you're like, how am I gonna do this?
Yeah. The pressure's on too, because some of them, they want to stand there and watch you do it, but usually,
right?
Like, maybe come back and like give me half an hour so I can kind of clear my head and
right,
like sweat like a madman while I try to figure out how I'm gonna actually pull this off.
I was staying at a friend's apartment when I was in Virginia, and she brought her boyfriend and his two sons over, and they were wanting, you know, some commissions, and one of them wanted Captain Kirk. So I was drawing this Captain Kirk, and he wanted to watch, you know, so I'm like, okay. And, you know, I'm doing it away, and the whole time, you know, he's just like, so what are you doing there? That's cool. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, like, you know, he just kept like
that doesn't really look like him.
he just kept doing this play by play of like everything I was doing. And it was interesting. I mean, I tried to go with it without trying to, you know, be too distracted, but, no, he definitely enjoyed it, which was, really what it's all about. So
I've got one buddy who does caricatures, and that seems like the most stressful thing ever.
Oh, man, yeah. I've never done that. I mean, God, I don't think I would have. It's like that and tattoos. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, I don't have any tattoos, so I don't understand how they get on properly. I assume there's some kind of thing you put over top and you sort of trace it, or maybe just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of, I mean, you can do freehand. I mean, if you're really good at it, you can do freehand, but I mean, just the permanence of it, I'm too attached to my control Z, so I don't think I can do that.
I have some kind of memory wipe thing for the client. It's like, oh, sorry.
Right.
And zap.
Great. Absolutely.
But,
cool.
Hey guys, I'm gonna jump in here. I think we're we're going a little.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, we've gone a good amount of time. I want to give you guys a chance to both plug your things here, but I mean, this was great. This is actually my favorite interview of all time because.
Because you didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, and I'm lazy, so it really worked out well. In fact, I turn on Monday Night Football. I'm watching Monday Night Football, listening to you guys. It's like listening to two old friends who've known each other for years talk shop, and it's great, even though that's not true. But I'm pretty sure if you ever come into Calgary for the Calgary Expo now, you could stay at Cam's house. I'm thinking.
We're actually mortal enemies.
Oh, are you?
You wouldn't know it, but
yeah. Well, this is a good football game, though, I have to say. I'm really sorry for forgetting. You guys wouldn't know this because I had my end muted, but the recorder I did forget for a moment that, anyway, so if you hear that in the background, if you listen back, I apologize for the football game showing up for a second. But this was great. I really enjoyed this. Just want to let you guys know. But yeah, why don't you guys plug your the We Talk Comics tradition. Plug your shit.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first? Because then yours will stick in. No one cares about mine, but yours will stick in their mind at the end.
Well, go ahead, man.
Okay, so, yeah. My comics are Futility, which is kind of sort of a hillbilly sci-fi book. It's about a farmer who is an ex-astronaut who kind of washed out of NASA, and he is attempting to beat Apollo 11 to the moon in a homemade rocket so that he can kind of get all the glory and be there when they arrive. But of course his plan goes awry and he gets lost in space. So you've got like a 1969 farmer, ex-astronaut lost in space. And that's, as I said, that's Futility. And we've got four issues out. And this is probably not going out before Edmonton's Expo, is it?
Probably not. But throw it in there just in case. It might be going up while it's still going on.
Okay, well, if you're at the Edmonton Expo, the latest issue will be available then and going forward, if you don't have it already. And then I do a comic called Shitty Stories, which is usually out of print because I don't make very many because I don't expect that anyone will buy them, but sometimes they do. So anyways, I have some reprints of that. And what else? Red Flag, which is kind of an EC horror kind of themed thing. As I said before, mostly about farts. And I have another comic that is, it's called CCF Comics, and it's sort of like band merch for the band that I play in, the Cripple Creek Fairies. And I think the only place to get that one anymore is Comics Express, maybe? I can't remember. It's one of those order to print or whatever it was. It's in Florida or something. Anyways, it's too expensive for me to order my own comics, so if anyone else wants to, that's where it is. But I think that's all I've got for now. More on the way, but that's it for now.
Right on. Well, yeah, so this is Dave, and my comics right now, I've got my major one, which is Atlas Origins. You can find that at atlasiscoming.com. It's a full 6-issue complete series. It's compiled into a 200-page trade paperback, which is available at the online store. And as an added extra to the story, there is a 36-page journal that the main character writes as he trains to become the eventual superhero. So in that way, you get two stories in one in the trade. So you can check that out at atlasiscoming.com. The other story that I am coming out with soon is Confederate Monster. That's sort of it's a horror kind of Frankenstein-ish story. It's sort of an alternative origin for the character Igor that sort of takes the character to Virginia during the closing months of the Civil War. So in that story, they sort of kidnap Igor and force him to build them a undead Confederate army. So that should be hopefully coming out here next year. I have a 5-page preview online. I shouldn't say 5. I believe there's 7 pages. I did 2 extra at confederatemonster.com if you want to check that one out. So I've got other things coming out, but they are just not ready for the public just yet.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you also for supporting Panel One and the idea and the Kickstarter. And I mean, and just so you know, that convention, not only did it go off, but because of the Kickstarter and everything like that, the actual the the people, you guys didn't have to pay for your tables. They got the tables free, you know, because Panel One's not making any money. It's about the artists. So that's, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's the coolest thing. So, and it's because people that you supported it. And I look forward to it. I'm going to keep watch out, you know, an eye out for you. And when you're big and you're drawing Spider-Man, you're too big for us, then Cam will call you up and say, well, you remember me at least, right?
Well, I hope that does happen, but I've had a great time talking with you guys, and I'm glad that I could support, you know, everything that you're doing. So keep up what you're doing.
Awesome. Thanks so much, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And this sucker's OUT. I'm gonna turn off the recording.